Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome to an EV News Daily special, all about the brand new Audi e-tron Quattro. It's not often that we get a launch of a car so special as this, and I thought it deserved its own podcast because I've literally just finished watching the launch of that in San Francisco. A bit of a time difference, as you can imagine. Actually, about an 8-hour time difference from where I am in the UK, here in London. So it was the early hours of the morning that was going on. However, fully processed the launch. I thought I'd bring you some thoughts in case you've not seen the news yet, what I think are the plus points, some of the drawbacks, and more importantly, how it will do in the wider EV market. Well, lots to talk about of Audi's first ever full electric car, asterisk. You see, it's not quite their first full electric car. They made a full electric R8. Spectacular. $1 million. Didn't sell too many of them, and that program's now discontinued. That was somewhat of an unfortunate blip on their roadmap of wanting to call this their first full electric car. So for the purposes of a handy headline, let's call it Audi's first full electric car. Going to hear first of all from the top of Audi in America, and then we'll get into the pros, the cons, some of my thoughts as well, and I'd love to hear from you on the podcast about what you think of this. Let's hear from Scott Keogh. Just after the launch, he was talking to CNBC. He's the Audi of America president and had some thoughts on Audi meeting demand for a super cool car for the premium market.
Well, there's enough room for us. I'm not sure there's enough room for everybody, but I think there's definitely enough room for us. And look, if we look at the market, we project in the next couple of years EV premium sales up to 350,000 units. You know, it's just over 100,000 today, so I think there's good room for growth. But frankly, to me, it's simple. Launch a really cool car. That's what they want in the luxury market. This is a super cool car. I'm convinced we're going to see the growth there.
And I thought this was really interesting in a fascinating interview. This quote jumped out because he just didn't want to get drawn into a debate about range.
And when you speak to people who drive electric cars, what do they say? I don't go to a gas station. I start with a full tank each and every morning. That's what they focus on. And a lot of people dial in on, well, I'm going to Milwaukee tomorrow. Well, there's not that many people going to Milwaukee tomorrow from New York. What they do is they pick up their kids, they drive around town, they go to work. This thing's a phenomenal vehicle for that.
That was Scott Keogh. He's the Audi of America president. Thank you to CNBC for that audio. So maybe after the Mercedes EQC was launched a couple of weeks ago and there was a big debate about range and battery pack size and all those kind of things, maybe the press and communications people saw some of those comments over the last couple of weeks and briefed their management and to stay well away from even entering a debate about that. There's no reason why this car should have a problem with range, though, because we'll get into that. Let's talk about the headlines, first of all, the top line stats, then we'll get into the pros and the cons and end up in the nerdy stuff as well. So, this car is bigger than an Audi Q5, let's say, by the dimensions of it. It is an Audi e-tron Quattro, so all-wheel drive, 300 kilowatts of power. That's 400 brake horsepower in old money, and 5.5 seconds 0 to 60 at 124 miles an hour top speed. However, something that I don't think many of the, if any of the websites that I read doing the immediate kind of coverage, some of the journalists that were there attending, getting their articles online in the first couple of minutes, it's 6.6 seconds 0 to 60. That 5.5 second 0 to 60 time is when you engage boost mode. Now, boost mode isn't sustainable over the long term, but for a short boost of speed, funnily enough, given the name, it's all a bit Knight Rider in the 1980s, but that gets you 5.5 seconds 0 to 60, otherwise 6.6 seconds in normal mode. What's striking about the car is what's not striking about the car. This looks like a regular, big, luxurious Audi. If you don't know about EVs, you don't know what the little cues to look for, the little lights on the front and the back, this looks like a normal Audi, and that is both a strength and a weakness, maybe. If you ask me, personal opinion, I think it's a strength, because if you wanted to... Okay, I'm going to try and get to the end of this podcast without saying the T word. We will mention the T word at the end. If you wanted, already, an expensive electric luxury SUV, there has been another option until now. This is aimed at Audi buyers, and people who haven't wanted to buy the alternative for now. Trying not to say the T word until the end. I promised myself I wouldn't. Let's talk about Audi for now. So the styling of it is very much in the brand style of Audi. They've not tried to reinvent anything. When you go and look at this on the Audi website, it doesn't jump out at you. And so you look at all the cars, you look at the product range, and it's just sitting there. There are some things, though, that are a nod to the technology sitting under the skin, like the mirrors, or rather the lack of them. The cameras that stick out the side and the cameras that replace wing mirrors in many markets. Not, unfortunately, America, because there's no legislation there to account for not having wing mirrors and cameras instead. So North America is going to get the mirrors. But if you get the cameras, and I'm not sure whether that's a standard or an upgrade option on it, by the way, when you go above 90 kilometers an hour, they change the field of view. For instance, and also the little screen next to the driver. So you've got the camera poking out, replacing the wing mirror, and then just inside where that joins the car, if you like, you've got a little LCD or an LED screen, and that's touchscreen. And so you can touch it, you can pinch and zoom and move around and actually change both sides, both mirrors as well, a bit like you would with electric wing mirrors at the moment. But if you want to change the view and left a bit, right a bit, up a bit, down a bit, you get the idea. Well, inside, again, very traditional Audi. If you've seen any of the top of the range Audis at the moment, it looks exactly like that. Three screens. You've got the Audi virtual cockpit right in front of you, which is gorgeous. Works really well. One of the best things about top Audis at the moment. And then that screen can change according to what you need to look at. Then this is the left-hand drive version. So to the right of you in the center console, and actually angles to face you as well. At the top, a 10.1-inch screen, which is things like your sat nav. Then beneath that is an 8.6-inch screen, which is just kind of where your right hand, again, this is the left-hand drive model, your right hand would sit. Just up from that, that's going to show things like your HVAC, your heating controls. However, when the top screen, say, is on sat-nav and you need to enter an address, the bottom screen becomes a keyboard to type with. So all very, very well designed, very luxurious. Going back to the technology side of it, air suspension, I think, comes as standard. I didn't see that as an option. It's adjustable up and down by 3 inches. Yes, there is a frunk in this thing for the cable. It's a bit weird because when you open the bonnet of some EVs, not saying the T word, very clean inside there. When you lift the bonnet of the Audi e-tron Quattro, it very much looks like an engine bay. You know, there's pipes and cables and things. However, in the middle, there is a frunk. Looks like it would fit, at the very least, all your charging cables and stuff like that. Also in there is the tyre inflator kit and your tyre rescue kit. So take that out if you are happy to risk it, or you've got recovery because you're never going to use it. And there is actually, it goes down a long way. There's 60 litres of storage in there. You could pack a bag in there, an overnight bag maybe, or just a really stinky takeaway that you don't want to put inside your car when you're going to have to pick it up on a Friday night. Onboard charger of 11 kilowatts will charge your battery in 8.5 hours. And of course, the big selling point of this is 150 kilowatt charge speed. Things like the new Ionity network in Europe and Electrify America in the USA, 80% charge in 30 minutes. The technology of this is very much been talked about already in terms of the regen, the recuperation. There's been some YouTube videos on there already, but this was reiterated at the launch. Brake by wire. So when you stamp on the brakes, there's an algorithm that runs using things like the radar and the cameras to judge how much brake pressure the car thinks you need to apply, which are very clever stuff, and that helps out the regen, the recuperation. 30% of the total range, they say, has been calculated because of how efficient this car is at recuperation, doing some crazy clever stuff with software, and also when you approach junctions and things like that, giving you help of telling you, hinting to you, stop accelerating because you're approaching a junction. You want to do some regen here. 250 mile range is a number that I've picked out of, well, nowhere really, because they won't say the range. Well, it hasn't been approved EPA range or WLTP range either. So let's say this is a big, heavy SUV with a 95 kilowatt hour battery. 250 miles range. Is that enough? Well, we heard Scott Keogh at the beginning of the show was saying, look, range isn't important, and trying to brush it aside. Well, you know, probably I would say exactly the same thing to the media if I was in his position, but it is natural that you and I have this discussion about range because it is the top line number. Is 250 miles good enough? Could be that it's 240, that it's 235. Could be that it's 265. 95 kilowatt hour pack is big, right? There's only one battery pack bigger than that on the market, trying not to say the T word. And that's 100 kilowatt hours, right? So it's a big pack. It's also a big, heavy car. So we'll wait and see. And talking of being a big car, it does just look like a big Audi SUV. And yes, it's got the big Audi grille. That styling that we see, that brand styling that we see on all Audis, it's got the big Audi grille. Doesn't need one, doesn't need cooling. There are some gaps in there, which I imagine must be for cooling, but otherwise sealed off. Okay, let's get under the skin and talk about kind of the nerdier stuff that you and I sometimes like to talk about. It's the battery has got 36 modules inside it. It uses the pouch cells and not the circular cells that other companies use. 36 shoebox size modules, and they're doing some really funky stuff as well with dispensing heat. They all sit inside the usual kind of big skateboard design, and so they all sit inside an aluminium structure, and it forms part of the structure of the car. They sit inside and on top of a conductive gel, and that's really clever, and that gel disperses any heat out to a heat sink and then away from the batteries, which enable longer performance. Well, there's a larger motor in the rear of the car. It's all-wheel drive, but pretty much like some of the more famous Audi Quattro systems, it'll be rear-wheel drive most of the time. When you need the extra power, the front motor will kick in, but it's a smaller motor in the front. Yes, it's rated for towing. And yes, if you want to get really interactive with the car and do the regen stuff, there are the paddles each side of the steering wheel. Yes, it'll do one pedal driving. Yes, it'll still roll and coast if you want to. So sort of three levels of regen, or maybe four if you count coasting as a level of regen. So if you want to just take your foot off the gas and just coast, it'll do that. And if you want to get into the whole one pedal thing, then yes, of course, it will do that as well. And talking of the accelerator, as I mentioned before, there's a camera and a radar. And one of the things that they've worked hard on is to coach the drivers. Presuming that drivers of this are going to come from other big Audis and non-electric cars, it coaches you of when to lift off the accelerator and when, how to drive the car for maximum recuperation. What about those people that are coming from a big diesel or petrol fossil and they get their first electric car, but then there's the whole charging at home, isn't that a faff? Do I have to start calling electricians? Are they going to call me back? How much do I pay? What's the standard rate? Don't worry about any of that. They've done a deal with Amazon. And if a company does a deal with Amazon, you have to sit up and pay attention, because Amazon are just doing incredible things in so many spaces. And now they will install your home charging point as well. So you buy the car and Amazon will sort out everything to do with installing the chargers. Let's face it, you're paying a lot of money for the car. You're paying $74,000 for the car. You don't want to be worried about the charge point and calling around. So Amazon look after that. Is this the fastest e-tron Quattro that we're going to see? I'd heard one report. There was a single report that I read immediately after the launch that said the S-Line will be available later, but I can find nothing else more about the S-Line online, so I just presume there'll be a more extreme version of it coming at some point. Charging, as you can imagine, but I'll just reiterate it, CCS charging on DC for DC fast charging, so CCS combo plug. Well, let me get into the charging. This is clever. Charge points both sides of the car. So on one side of the car, you've got your combo plug, which will do your DC and your AC charging. On the other side of the car is AC only. And that's thinking brilliantly, because if you ever parked up to charge a car and the cable won't reach, or someone's parked inconsiderately, or it's been iced, it provides more options. Inside the cabin, beautiful LED ambient lights with things like USBs, very high tech. The rear camera looks super high resolution. If you've seen the kind of high res screens in the Audi A7, the A8, that dual screen layout, they're using the same high resolution screens. The rear camera literally fills the whole screen, which is great. And yes, as we talked about on the podcast only a few days ago, and I was asking why more automakers aren't getting into voice in a really big way, Audi have done. So they've got voice in the car, and you can say, Audi, set the temperature to 21 degrees, because that's like, I always have my car at 21 degrees. I'm very comfortable at that. You can wear like a t-shirt, a light top, a polo top when you're driving. Haven't got to have a jacket on. I like to kind of have the car coolish, but about 21 is my perfect for driving. You can say, Audi, set the temperature for 21 degrees, and it will say back to you, I have lowered, or I have raised the temperature to 21 degrees. Brilliant. Voice is included, and that is the safest way. I think loads more car companies should be doing this, and if not, they're just going to get blown out of the water the minute voice is in your car from other people. So when Amazon and Google, so when the Amazon Echo and Google Home are in your kitchen, your lounge, your bedroom, and in your car, and you're driving home, and you can say, Echo, turn on the lights at home, and Echo, text my wife, I'm 5 minutes away. If you can say that to your car, then of course you will. So if the automakers can get on board with their own voice systems, they'll just get more share of the market, if you like. What do you think of the brand new Audi? Let me know in the comment section of the podcast. We put the podcast on YouTube, and that's handy for comments. You can email the show, hello@evnewsdaily.com, if you want to. Right, finally, something which doesn't fit anywhere else in terms of the review of the car, but I wanted to mention it because it struck me as notable. Those Audi engineers, in fact, everybody at the Volkswagen Group and Audi that's been working hard on this for so many years, building a car that they have seen elsewhere in the world. So, yes, they have bought, I can finally say, now that I finished my review, they've bought Teslas, taken them apart, driven them. They know what they are competing with, and they know their own buyers very, very well. They've worked for years doing this, and then the media come out with all of the reports today, and all journalists can do in the headlines is talk about Tesla. Check out just a handful of the first few reports that I saw coming out. CNBC said this: Audi unveils e-tron, the latest model to challenge Tesla. TechCrunch said the Audi e-tron SUV is an electric shot at Tesla. Bloomberg said Audi holds California e-tron party to take aim at Tesla. TechCrunch added how the Audi e-tron compares to a Tesla Model X. USA Today said electric car wars, Audi set to challenge Tesla. And so it goes on and on and on. I'm sure they would want the car, the initial reviews, to all be about their work on the car, which is why I tried to make this podcast purely about that until we got to the end to mention the elephant in the room, which is there is a great car that they are going up against that is more expensive. Yes, we know you want a top spec Model X, should be paying twice as much almost as the Audi e-tron Quattro. Starts at about $75,000, and yes, you can spec that up. Some early, just in the first few hours of the news reports that were coming out, there were 999 early editions, like founders editions, if you like, not using that phrase, but people who get a special launch founder spec, 999 of those all sold out so far. And it's about a $1,000 deposit, I think, you've got to put down to secure your Audi e-tron Quattro. They don't need the $1,000, but they'll be using that to know what's the demand like, and actually where in the world is the demand like from the people putting their $1,000 down. So it's not really about the money, it's about finding serious people and working out where should we build cars and where should we ship them to. Cars built in Belgium, I believe. Again, I heard that in a passing reference, and shipped into the US. I don't really get into politics on this podcast because there's so much of it around me. You and I don't need to talk about that. But I will say import tariffs, 25% import tariff on a $75,000 car is going to sting for Audi. Let the politicians do what the politicians do. Let's hope for the sake of, in North America, electric car buyers that want this car, that they're not paying some crazy, crazy tariffs on top of that. Depending on which way your politics leans, I'm sure you would have an opinion. Let's not go there. Thank you very much for listening today to this special edition podcast. Let me know your thoughts on YouTube and email hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'll read your comments out on a future edition of the show. In the meantime, there is a regular news edition for the 19th of September. If you want to download that and have a little listen to it, of course, that will be online waiting for you. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.